Todd Marcus is an award-winning musician who has elevated the bass clarinet from a position of obscurity to a place in front of the band. Tomorrow night, Marcus will join the influential and esteemed clarinetist Don Byron for a show of modern jazz at the Caton Castle in Baltimore. Todd Marcus won a Baker Artist Award a couple of years ago and was heralded as a rising star by Downbeat magazine, which named Don Byron its Jazz Artist of the Year back in 1992. This year, Todd Marcus has been named a jazz hero by the Jazz Journalists Association. Here they are, Todd Marcus and Don Byron, collaborating on an album called Inheritance. Todd Marcus and Don Byron. That tune is called Herod from the 2012 CD Inheritance. And Todd Marcus joins me here in Studio A. It's great to see you, man. How
Thank you, doing? Likewise. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, good to see you. And this album just always delights. I mean, it's been out for a few years, but it just always delights. You really have a sort of singular, amazing love for the bass clarinet. And you're one of the few who really, you know, has just poured his heart and soul into this thing. There's a lot of clarinetists. There's a huge tradition of the clarinet and its involvement in, like, New Orleans jazz, you know, Dixie jazz and stuff. But the bass clarinet for you has always been the thing.
It has. And for me, growing up as a clarinetist, when I got the chance to switch over from the band music I was playing, the classical music I was playing, and all that repertoire, the Mozart and the Weber and all these kind of things, and I heard a record by the great bass clarinetist, multi-instrumentalist actually, Eric Dolphy, who was famous for working with John Coltrane and Charles Mingus, and I heard him using this bass clarinet, and as a guy that was starting out on jazz and sounding like a bad Dixieland player, and I heard this instrument and I felt, wow, there's so much more possibilities of the color and the tone. And it was also a very underutilized instrument in the music. There were very few folks that had done that. So there was really this opportunity to chart new ground, and I feel like that's one of the things I've done, is give the bass clarinet a voice in modern style of jazz playing.
And you're playing this weekend and on a tour, a five-city tour, with Don Byron, who's one of the great legendary clarinet players, not a bass clarinet player, but a clarinet player. How important is it to, has he been a real mentor to you in your career?
He's been one of the key influences and inspirations for me as someone coming up in this music and wanting to see, when I was getting started, what is the possibilities? You don't see a lot of bass clarinetist, let alone clarinetist in the modern style. We think about clarinet as far as Dixieland and New Orleans style, a swing time period. But when I became aware of Don Byron, boy, this opened up the demonstration that it can be done. And he does play bass clarinet as well. Now, he's not done as much with his bass clarinet over recent years, but being able to hear him on clarinet and bass clarinet was huge for me. And so when I recorded my album Inheritance back in 2012, and I had a couple of tunes that required a second horn, and there are a million great saxophone players and trumpet players that I could have considered, but to me it was meaningful to have it be a clarinetist, to keep it as this bass clarinet and clarinet frontline, but also to have this musician that has been a major inspiration to me. And so it's meaningful to have done that recording, and we heard some of that in the background just now, but also to keep that relationship building with these live performances that we get to do.
Yeah. Of course, playing with your mentor, it's very different making an album and playing a live gig, too. So, I mean, it's just the interaction that you're able to get when you're playing live. The learning continues, doesn't it?
It definitely does, and the inspiration continues. And I think about that dynamic you mentioned with when we did the recording. We had talked a bunch of the time over the years, but that was our first time playing together. Hey, it's good to see you. Here we are in the studio. Let's see what we can do. But to play several times since then, and to be side by side in that live setting, I mean, you know, that's where this beautiful magic and inspiration takes place, both for us as musicians on stage as well as with the audience.
Yeah, records are fun, but there's nothing like a live show. Yeah.
And that we played last night to start off the tour down at Strathmore, and it was the same as always. You know, he's just got, you hear it in his playing, you see it when he's on the bandstand. I think just that passion and that power coming through, and you can't stay sitting in your seat without moving around, because that music is capturing and taking hold. And That's to me, that's what brought me into the music, you know, that passion, that energy, and it's special.
Yeah, in the first place. Yeah. That's great. In addition to playing all over the world, you have run an organization called Intersection of Change in Sandtown, Winchester. I guess this is 20 years now you've been at it?
20-year anniversary, yeah.
Yeah, God bless. That's great. So, you know, we're a year and a couple of months post the violence and uprising of April of 15. You're working with these kids. You're on the ground with them every day. You're doing all sorts of stuff, arts programs. You got an urban farm going. You got all sorts of different things happening. What's your take on how those children are doing and how the neighborhood's doing and where we go from here?
Well, I think that in a lot of ways, we as a community over in Sandtown, Winchester and Upton, we're located right on Pennsylvania Avenue, so we're the heart of where a lot of, well, Freddie Gray was a resident of our neighborhood. A lot of the unrest took place along Pennsylvania Avenue in our neighborhood, so it brought a lot of attention. And we're looking at things that were highlighted, which are decades-long struggles. And the reality is, that stuff is still there as strong as ever. For our work, we've been working long at trying to respond to unmet needs in our community. So the arts program continues to provide arts classes and community projects for our kids and adults, and it's doing a great job. And we've had a tangible impact on that. In response, last year, we did a special mural project where we hired 80 of our teenagers that created 8 major murals throughout our community, from Pennsylvania Avenue, several locations in Pennsylvania Avenue, to different streets in our neighborhood. And so that was employing our teenagers to do these art projects, which are beautification, and they were interacting with our community residents. So it was on multiple levels, I thought, a real tangible way of saying our teens are underemployed and need opportunity, not only for a creative outlet and community building outlet, but financial income too. And so this really represented, I thought, a meaningful kind of response on top of what we've already been doing as far as our community building work.
And so many people, you know, talk about, you know, integrating the arts with people's lives and stuff. You've been living that life and walking that walk for a long time.
It's been a meaningful way to really do that. Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's great. Todd Marcus, the great clarinet virtuoso, really always good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Todd Marcus will team up with the famed clarinetist Don Byron for a couple of sets at the Caton Castle on South Caton Avenue in Baltimore tomorrow night, starting at 6. They'll be joined by Xavier Davis on piano. Jeff Reed will play bass, along with the great drummer Eric Kennedy. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show is produced by Rob Sivak, Richard Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, with production assistance from Lauren Ferguson. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. Coming up Monday, the latest installment in our series on religion, Living Questions. John Gehring, a biographer of Pope Francis, ponders the role of religion in this unusual election cycle, plus a preview of Maryland Public Television's new Vietnam War Stories, which features the recollections of nearly 100 Maryland Vietnam veterans. Till then, enjoy the Preakness. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.